He's always been there, hasn't he?
Yes, sir.
Always been there, always will be there, one way or the other. One way or the other. Sometimes it's not the way that we want it to be. Sometimes it's a different way.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes it's ways that we just haven't counted on.
Right.
Amen. There's times for, you know, the book of Ecclesiastes said there's a time for all things.
All right.
Amen. There's a time to give and there's a time to receive.
Right.
There's a time to tear down and there's a time to build.
Right.
There's a time, there's a season for everything that there is. I like what the brother was teaching this morning in Sunday school and how that he said, everything that is has been. Amen. There's nothing new under the sun. I mean nothing at all. We think a lot of times, well, this is something new. And I was reading the other day in a National Geographic magazine how that they had used the sun in hundreds of years ago for laser beams to cut things and to do different work with. And I thought, you know, there's nothing new. God already knows what's happening. God already understands what's taking place. God already sees. It's up to us to be able to get to that point to where that we understand what God's trying to do. Amen. Here we are trying to figure out God and trying to figure out all that He is doing. What we need to do is let God figure out the road for us and take that road. Amen. Thank God. In the book of Matthew, I read just a verse or two of scripture tonight in your hearing. Amen. And I'm so glad for the Lord. I'm so glad for what God is doing and how God is doing things. And it's a familiar verse of scripture in the 14th chapter and the 45th verse. And it's talking about something that we've all read. We've all heard the story, the parable of it, and how that it was. But it said again, the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Simple little verse.
Yeah.
A simple little text. Amen. Talking about the pearl of great price.
Yeah.
And how that when this man had already found this pearl, when this merchant had found this pearl, the Bible teaches us, Jesus is telling us here, that he went and sold everything that he had and he bought that one pearl of great price. Amen.
Right.
And I thought today, and not through this week, but I thought today, when the pearl has lost its value, when the pearl has lost its value. Amen. I mean, you know something tonight? I'm going to preach right here, straight off my cuff and from my heart. Amen. I want you to know something tonight, that the pearl of great price is Jesus Christ. Amen. I can remember back 30-some years ago, 35 years ago, when I found that pearl of great price. And I sold everything that I had. I cashed in to be able to purchase that one pearl. Amen. That one solid piece that I needed in my life. Everybody has come to a place to where at one time or another they've needed the pearl of a great price. Amen. Everybody has come to the place to where that when they have sought out everything that they could seek out. I think about the little lady that had the issue of blood. The Bible said that she spent all that she had on physicians. But Brother Tommy, when she grew none but the worse, she found the pearl of great price. Amen. She sold out. She gave every everything. She said, it's not worth it. I've got to find one spot that I can touch. If I can just but touch the hem of his garment, I know I can be made whole. Amen. And that's the way it is with us. Amen. We've got to let go of everything else and get a hold of God and let God direct our steps in this life. Amen. How many times have you found that pearl of a great price in your life? How many times have you come to a place in your life to where nothing else made a difference? Nothing else. We've heard testimonies. We've heard people down through our lives. And we've heard people right here in the house of God tell us how great that the Lord really was. And they didn't realize how much they needed God until they got in dire distraint and dire need and dire despair with this life that they lived in. I want you to know the Bible said that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Amen. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep know my voice. Amen. And a stranger they'll not follow. I'll tell you what, when we're in tune with God, that pearl of a great price, it means all to us. And it's like that old song that Pam Knopf sings and wrote, amen, not for sale. I mean, I'm not going to sell out. I'm not going to let go of this thing. I'm not going to turn loose of it. Why? Because I found it. And I know this is what it's going to take for me. But how many times have we also noted, amen, that pearl, when it's lost its value to people, and it becomes no more the great pearl that they needed, it becomes no longer the priceless image that we have found for our lives. It no longer becomes the thing that we put number one or first in our lives. It becomes second. It's so easy to let that pearl slide back into a slot, amen. And we become slumbered with the things and the incumbent of this world. And we become to the place where that it no longer is that great priceless image to us. But what it becomes a spare tire.
Yeah. Well, come on now.
Amen.
That's right.
I thought some, maybe probably 30 years ago, I preached on the pearl of a great price, and I've not preached on it much in my life, but the reason I preached on it was one day I was out, and I had a flat tire, and I had carried this tire on the back of my van for years, amen, for 2 or 3 years, and it was there. It was a security blanket for me. If I knew that if I ever needed it, it would be there for me. And when I washed my vehicle, I'd always spray it off with a bush and make sure that it was clean and everything was ready there, you know. And there have been some times in my life that when I went back there, and I pressed it, Brother Beaton, just to make sure. Some of you truck drivers know that ever so often you get out and you got a tire thing, and what you do, you hit that tire, and the way it bounces off that tire lets you know that tire is okay. It's got efficient air in it, and everything's all right. Amen. But I was up at the hospital in the hospital garage at Mount Carmel West one day, and I come out, and lo and behold, a flat tire. Well, I wasn't worried about it. All I knew that my spare was already there.
Come on.
And I went to the back, and I unlatched the shield, and I took the shield off of that spare. And I took the bolt loose, and I took the spare, and I set it down. But, oh, my goodness, what happened to my heart when I put that spare down on the ground and saw that it was flat also? I'm going to tell you something. At that time, that tire was priceless to me. At that time, there was a time, amen, that I needed it the most. And little did I know that I was traveling around. I had gotten to the place in my life to where that I hadn't checked on it for a while. Amen. I become unconcerned about it. And that night, I thought of that night as I went home. I thought about that pearl of the great price that's a jewel top and how powerful that it is in our lives. But oh, how priceless that it is at times. But if we're not careful, it loses its value and begins to slide back into second place one more time. I want to tell you something, friends. You listen to me tonight. Our actions speak so much louder than our words. I mean, it's so easy for me to get up here and preach to you. And my children, if you talk to them, amen, they'll tell you that that is one that's always told them, don't just stand up and tell people how to serve God. Show people how to serve God. Don't just stand there and reminisce and tell God how great that He is and how powerful that He is and how much you need Him in your life. You hear me tonight. I feel the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, it's so easy to stand up and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. It's so easy to sing, there is no greater fellowship than the Him I know and all. Amen. But it is so easy, amen, to sing about pearly gates and streets of gold and walls of jasper. It's so easy to talk about the glorious moving and power of God, but to know in your heart.
That's right. Amen.
And to have that security of knowing in your heart.
That's right.
And to have that peace of mind. I'm going to tell you, boys, I don't want to wait until disaster strikes me or my home before I get up and say how great God is. You hear me? Some of us, the devil has counseled out our testimonies. And I said it right, counseled out our testimonies. Some of us, the enemy has programmed our minds and said, you know, they're tired of hearing this. They're tired of hearing about the mighty power of God and how God moved in your life. They're tired about hearing about how that God sustained the waters and how He held back the waves of sin. How that He moved so greatly and powerfully. Amen. They're tired of that. That's what the thief coming to do. But to steal, kill, and destroy. Wow. When our eyes get off of the moving hand of God and the miracle working hand of God, our eyes begin to wander toward the things of this world.
That's right. Exactly right.
If you read back in Genesis, you'll read where that the Bible teaches us that they build a fire at night to keep the predators away. Amen. They didn't have near the problem with the predators when the fire was hot. When you had to really worry about the predators coming in, it's when the fire starts going out. How the wolves begin to come around. Come on now. The snakes begin to gather in closer. Come on now. All the critters and all the predators of the forest, amen, begins to travel in closer when the flames are not burning as high.
That's right.
You know yourself, you build a fire, you get you a bonfire going, and you get up close to it and you feel the heat waves coming off of that. Amen. There's just something about fire that an animal cannot be around. It doesn't want to be around. It gets real nervous. A horse, when you get it around a big fire, that horse begins to shake. Amen. It begins to get scared. Why? Because it knows those flames will burn it. And in your life, when you are on fire for God, the devil does not want anything to do with you or any part of you. You listen to me tonight. When those seven sons of Sceva went in there and they tried to cast that devil out of that man, that devil didn't laugh at them and just push them away. That devil let them know where the flames was. That devil said, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you?
That's right.
I mean, we've been acquainted with the fire.
Yes, sir. Right.
People quit praying. and begin to draw distant to God and God's ways. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. I've been in this thing long enough to know that when people quit praying, they don't like people spiritual around. Come on now. Because the Bible said that the carnal mind is not subject to God, neither indeed can be. And when people quit praying, they don't want the subjects of God, amen, being number one in their lives. How many times have they reached back for the toys of the world and begin to pull them back up? My God, it's no wonder that our children are dying lost. It's no wonder that our family members are looking at us and folding their arms and saying, why should I? I mean, they're in, they're out, they're up, they're down, they're all across the board. They have no stability in their walk. When I talk to people about people that have been strong in God and stayed stable in the Lord, even when they've had problems in their life, they didn't just call on God when they needed Him. They talked to God when there was no troubles at all.
Sure.
They worshiped God whenever nothing. Listen to me. Hear me tonight. He said He drew near to those that were of a contrite spirit, a broken heart, to those that saw Him. James said, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. Listen to me tonight, friend. Hear me. The debt that we owe Jesus paid on Calvary. If we never had nothing else but the promise of salvation, it would be worth it all. But in the stead, all the benefits that God gives us and blesses us with. You may not think it, and you may not realize it, and you may not understand it, but your children have your attitude with God. Your family takes on the leadership role. That family leads that family into the leadership role with God. If your children see you up and down and in and out, they're going to be up and down and in and out. Some time back, we were speaking to somebody and talking about somebody, the people that don't even go to this church, that is part of a family that I know. And we were talking to another family, and I said, they were talking about their children. I said, but you got to understand this. They're doing good for what they've been taught throughout their life. Amen. My parents always told me it's not the children that are bad, it's the parents that's not teaching them. Brother, listen to me tonight. I wish Brother Jerry went on, but I knew what God had dealt with my heart today. You hear me. Listen to me. There's a time for everything. There's a time to shout. And there's a time to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to you in the house of the Lord. It's not over yet.
That's right.
I wish I could describe it clearly and say it's all done and finished and everything's going to be all right. But when that little lady went away, Jesus told her, go that way and sin no more. And he even went on a little bit farther with some of them. And he said, at least the worst thing come upon you. I think what people forget, that there is the other side of God. I think what people fail to remember, that only God can be merciful and cast forth judgment with the same hand. The same God that raises you up can push you back down. The same God that exalted you can abase you. The same God that healed your body can lift his hand and say, I'll have no part of it. heart trouble. God didn't bring tuberculosis. God didn't bring emphysema. God didn't bring those things. But without the Almighty hand of God healing us, we find that the enemy has a free door. And a channel to not only our lives, but our family's lives. How many times, Sister Shan, have I told you, I'm not just doing it for me. I got a little boy and a little girl I got to do it for. Amen. How many times have some of you sat in your homes and said, not just because I feel like I need it. Amen. I'm number one. I know I am. I need it. But not just because of me, but because of my family. Your attitude toward God reflects through your family,
yes,
and they spew it out to the world.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And I don't know a lot about fish and fish tanks. I had one time, gave it away, but I do know this, that fish can get such a thing called ick. And it's big splotches that start coming out all over. And you don't know what it is. And you don't know they got it until they're almost dead.
Come on. All right.
And not only that, but it is highly contagious. If you go to a pet store and buy one fish that has ick, and you bring it home and put it in a tank of 50 others, the next day, all 50 of them have ick. You see, the Bible knows exactly, Paul knew exactly what he was saying when he said, a little evil leaves the whole lot.
Right.
A little sin brings us to one bigger sins. And that's why the Word of God in the Old Testament told us it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. The big foxes get up and eat the grapes. The little foxes gnaw away at the roots of the vine. And they suck the juice from the roots of the vine. And what happens is the nourishment does not go up no more. And they pull that out and the vine begins to die. But listen, no, listen to me, friend. It's just like our children. You may think, Daddy, you may think, Mommy, that I'm doing fine. My children are doing fine. They look healthy. They look great. So does those fish with it. Amen. They look good. But by the time you notice it, you might as well destroy them all because it's too late.
Right. Well.
And it's just like with that vine. By the time that you notice those grapes begin to wither, the vine has already died. It's already dead inside. You know where life becomes and starts with the body? With the heart. That's why Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
That's right.
And I can look at Brother Tommy Cox, and I can look at Sister Diane, and I can look at Brother B, and Brother Jerry, and Brother Danny, but I can see their hearts. By the time that sin has destroyed that heart, the body is already decaying. And it's also too late. Anything with. I tell you, when the pearl's lost its value, not only are we in trouble, but everybody around us is in trouble.
Amen.
It's important. It's important for us to know that one way or another, we're going to pay the debt. One way or another, God's hand is going to be proven over and over. We are so smart in a lot of areas of our life. We have geniuses. I mean, if you really think about it, Howard Hughes was virtually a genius. Not only was he a billionaire, but he was a genius. If you study out a little bit about Howard Hughes, you're going to find that that man was an inventor. He invented so many different things, and He was an entrepreneur. He went into areas and went passed into areas that other great men like Warren Buffett and others would never dare to go into. And Howard Hughes looked at the foresight of it and saw a little glimmer of hope and took that. But Howard Hughes died a fool, died to death. If you read back in the Old Testament about Abner, you'll read about how smart that he was. Somebody said, oh, Abner wasn't smart. He wasn't that. Abner was very smart. David knew he was smart. David feared his own son.
Yes, he did.
Because he knew that man knew how to put an army together. He knew how to manipulate people. He knew how to control the circumstances, not only of a community, but of a kingdom. And when David exiled him from Jerusalem and sent him away from Judea, he knew. You know why he did that? It's because David's kingdom was in trouble. And he feared that if Abner stayed, control. And Joab knew that also. Joab knew exactly. Joab knew that he could not control that. That Abner had a swift mind and he had a swift hand to work the duties that he wanted done. And that's the reason that day when Abner hung in the forks of that oak tree by the hair of his head, that Joab put an arrow through his heart. Somebody said, why not just, he probably broke his neck. Joab wanted to make sure that he was extinguished from the kingdom, that the throne was still safe. I'm telling you, you can be a genius, you can be smart, you can have all the incredibilities of life that you want to have. But if you don't own the pearl of a great price and keep it number one, it's a lot of people purchase it. A lot of folks purchase that pearl. But what happens is instead of keeping it near the hearts, they lay it down somewhere convenient until a time that they need it. And then when they need it, but the book says in Proverbs, he that often being reproved and hardened his heart and stiffened his neck shall be cut off from that without remedy. And I'm telling you tonight is we better keep this pearl fresh and shining. How do you do it, preacher? I don't know how you do it, but how I was taught when I was a young Christian is prayer and fasting and seeking God and lifting up his name. Amen. I wasn't taught like a lot of folks are today. I was taught, you don't pray at church, you pray at home. You take time on your job at your break, and you get off by yourself, and you steal away and pray. Many a days at Buckeye Steel Casting, that old steel mill, that filthy, dirty steel mill. Brother Roy Carricoff was here today. Many a day, he'd tell you, that he'd hear me underneath that sand mill where they made the sand for the molds that poured down into the molds. He'd hear some of us underneath that sand mill at lunchtime. And we were calling on the name of the Lord. Because it was very important for us to keep the pearl fresh in our hearts. A lot of times in that 15-minute break, it took us about 3 minutes to get underneath the mill. And we had an altar set up underneath there. And we bowed down on that sand, that dirty sand. and we had to wipe the dust off. It would be sometimes 3 and 4 inches thick off the altar. And we'd lay our heads down and begin to moan and cry and worship God and glorify God and lift up the name of the Lord. We don't teach people that no more. We tell them, you got burdens, bring them down here to the altars. Leave them, walk out the door and forget it. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. There's some agonizing in this thing. When Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible said that he prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood. And that lets me know that he was agonizing. He was talking to the Father. And he was just as human as you and me are. And he said, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, thine be done. I'm telling you tonight, we better keep the pearl fresh. I said it 2 weeks ago on a Sunday night. We better brush the dust of these pews off our seats. We better start pouncing on an altar and thanking God and glorifying God. I'll tell you what's going to keep your job. I'll tell you what's going to keep your company. I'll tell you what's going to keep your family. I tell you what's going to get your children back on the altars is worshiping God and glorifying God and lifting up the name of the Lord. I tell you what's going to get that girl that's lost saved is lifting up the name of God. Let her hear the voice of heaven ringing through you at your bedroom. I'm going to tell you something. You can turn any situation that's dire or distressful into a way of joy by seeking God and calling on God. Hear me? It may not look good for days, but there will come a time when you will rejoice if you will consistently seek his face. Tonight, as we stand all over the building, if we can and will, I'd like to give you an opportunity tonight. If you're here and you need help from God, if you've got areas in your life, if you've slipped away the least bit and lost track of where you should be with God, I'd like to give you an opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. The Bible teaches me that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And not only them, but I believe that God is going to save our household. You hear me? That's his promise. That's his promise. My mom and dad left this world with 2 daughters that was lost. But I'm telling you this, they both got saved. And the promise was theirs before they died the death. Amen. One of them's gone on, and the other one's worshiping God now. But I'm telling you this, we've got to keep a stern mind toward the Lord and believe and trust in